Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya Biz on the street, on the air. Now, US President Donald Trump announced via letter yesterday that South Africa is going to be hit with 30% tariffs. Let's speak to Dr. Thomas Funke. He's the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Cane Growers Association. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Just talk to me about what the South African Cane Growers Association is, who you are, and what you do.
Yes, good evening. We are an association that represents the sugarcane farmers in South Africa. We represent 24,000 small-scale farmers and 1,200 commercial farmers. They together supply all of the sugarcane to the 12 sugar mills or 6 milling companies who then process that sugarcane and produce sugar. Our sugar is sold on the local market, so that's SACU in South Africa and our neighboring countries, and also exported. And that's obviously our concern here. One of our major export markets is the United States.
Mm-hmm. And just tell us in the simplest possible terms what that 30% tariff announcement means.
Yeah, so the United States quota that we've had for, you know, I guess 30 years now, is a very nice one for us. It's a very good price. The USA market is very lucrative because they control the amount of sugar that gets imported into that market. And as South Africa, we've been very fortunate to have a share of that pie, so to say. Mm-hmm. Now, when these tariffs were announced, that would obviously then have the impact that South Africa would have to drop its price at which it sells sugar into the U.S. market. And if other countries such as Brazil or Mexico are not exposed to the same level of import protection in the United States, they would be able to outcompete us. And in other words, either reduce our revenue that we would earn from that export or alternatively make our sugar unaffordable or unviable to be bought by American refiners.
Mm-hmm. And the ramifications for that would be quite dire, I imagine.
Yeah, that would be a reduction in income. Luckily, unlike other agricultural commodities, our sugar exports into the USA is not our only market, so we're very grateful for that. We also send sugar into Africa and the Far East as well as Europe. And therefore, it would reduce our income, but not expose us only into that market. So we have diversified a bit, I guess, on the export front.
Yeah, so if you're speaking about taking your product into the rest of our continent here in Africa, is there a possibility for those diversified areas that you do supply to grow to an extent where you can mitigate the risk of the challenges that you've spoken about in the U.S.?
I think the answer is hopefully yes over time. But as we know, the sugar market is relatively static and even worldwide grows very slowly, if anything, if at all. There's a lot of pressure on sugar reduction in all kinds of countries due to all kinds of reasons. And that means that you can't always gain access into other markets, or the markets won't necessarily be able to accept more sugar. And if they do, it would be at lower prices. So, yeah, it's not that, I guess, that simple to just find another market. We're always looking for different markets. And that will obviously take time. So the impact will be now, and we'll feel it now. Mm-hmm. But we're really asking our leaders to try and talk to other world leaders and to try and come to some form of agreement as to how, access into those beneficial markets can remain positive for South Africa.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that also, just because you've got, say, the South African market, it doesn't mean that that's going to remain static, because you also have challenges when it comes to even sustaining markets here or different companies and people coming in and giving you competition.
That's 100% correct. Yeah, we're under huge threat even in our local market. We currently have a lot of imports coming in. And that's bad for the country as a whole. You know, we support 65,000 jobs on farm, 270,000 indirect jobs in the industry, and over a million livelihoods. And if one has sugar being imported from Brazil or India or Thailand or elsewhere, that displaces South African sugar. And that means that every ton that is imported, the industry in South Africa loses 6,000 rand, which is roughly 40% of the cost of sugar. Mm. And with that, you know, the risk of job losses, et cetera, becomes very real. And that's also another aspect that we would like our government to look at is just as other countries worldwide are starting to protect their own markets, let's do the same in South Africa. Let's ensure that local produce is sold locally, you know, if those export markets close to us.
Mm, and how do you balance the need for local products to be sold to sustain those jobs and the people who are holding and producing that sugar with, on the other hand, often people turning to imports that are cheaper, even if the quality is not the same, because they are hampered by the increasing cost of living and they don't go to the shops with a necessarily patriotic or South Africa first mindset. They go to the shops and they say, I have X amount of rands. If I can get something cheaper, I'm going to.
Yeah, I think that's always the challenge. What we have seen is that imported sugar doesn't really sell at a discount.
Oh.
So in other words, the importers bring the sugar in, maybe at a cheaper rate. You know, we try and track those costs as good as we can and try and understand what import parity is. But what we've seen from the data coming from the market is that that sugar just slightly undersells the South African sugar, not by a big margin.
Okay.
But that then means that if they bring it in cheaper, they're obviously profiteering from the sugar and the consumer doesn't see that benefit. And that's really, you know, our call to the consumers to be proudly South African. Our sugar sells at the lowest possible price that we can make it at. And that's just how our industry is. We support a lot of jobs and livelihoods. We haven't mechanized, and we've got limitations in terms of climate and weather and topography and pests and, you know, all kinds of factors, which all contribute to a slightly, I guess, more expensive sugar than what you could do in Brazil, where they cut out the rainforest and plant sugarcane on flat, fertile land, which is something we don't have. So I think that's what the consumer needs to think about when they purchase sugar, that the money that they would spend on imported sugar wouldn't go towards your neighbor supporting local and supporting rural economies and communities in South Africa. It would go to some multinational in another country and make their shareholders in New York and wherever they sit a lot more wealthier. And that's something we want to just also convey.
I mean, we're going to move away from that in just a moment, but how do you know? I mean, I'm thinking of when I go and get sugar, sometimes I check the packets of produce that I buy to see where it's coming from, because there's certain places that I don't want to, or certain ingredients that I don't want to have in my food. Is it the same with sugar? The alliteration's getting to me a little bit, but is it the same with sugar, where you can look and say this is a product of South Africa or this was manufactured here?
Absolutely. So we also launched a Home Sweet Home campaign to make consumers aware of the importance of turning over that packet and making sure that you see product of South Africa on it. There are some very well-known brands, and I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to favor one over the other, but some very well-known South African sugar brands in our country, which have proudly South African logos on it, for example. And look for those packets. Look for the ones that really stand out and that have South Africa, product of South Africa on the back, not necessarily packed in South Africa. I think there's a differentiation between those two. Make sure that you buy that sugar that you know is South African, and just turn it over. If you see a brand that you don't know, just make 100% sure that that is made in South Africa.
Earlier on, you said that you want the authorities to be aware, Dr. Funke, of what's happening. Are you subsidized in any way? Is there discussions either at a local government or national government level to say, these are the challenges that we're experiencing, what can we do?
Yeah, we had our master plan under Minister Patel, which ran for a three-year period. And that was really a very good initiative by the government at the time to bring the stakeholders in the sugar industry together to discuss issues such as small-scale farmers and transformation and buy local and the SACU market, etc., in detail. And diversification was another one of those very important topics that was on the agenda there. But that then came to an end, and we think that under Minister Tau, and we actually today communicated with him, it would be good to revitalize that debate and start a second phase of the master plan. And I do understand that processes are underway to get that going. So that these topics can be discussed and, you know, closer collaboration can be forged, not just between industry and government, but between industry and your users, your processors of products that use sugar, in order for us all to work together and collaborate and get to some form of understanding as to how we can all coexist, you know, without it being an issue of supply and demand, you know, work together towards the greater good, I guess, for the South African economy.
How transformed is the sugar industry, and how much participation is there, particularly when you refer to the rural economy, as well as perhaps the urban centers as well?
Yeah, we pride ourselves in our transformation statistics. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got 24,000 small-scale growers in our industry, and about 30% of our sugarcane is delivered by black growers. And if you look at the agricultural sector in South Africa in general, that is very transformed in terms of I guess, race and the type of growers that deliver sugarcane. And we've got extensive programs also with the Transformation Fund funded in the industry to promote small-scale farmers and to ensure that they become viable entities in their own rights and are able to grow and further enhance the efficiencies of their businesses. So we do think that in South Africa, and especially in the agricultural space, we are well transformed. But as you know, one always strives to do better, and that's definitely also in the master plan as one of the pillars, which we'll hopefully start really engaging on very soon, is to drive this topic further and to ensure that small-scale growers can thrive in our industry.
Yeah, I wonder if... The more transformation occurs, there would also be a growth in this sector. I'm just thinking about the African Development Bank. We're off-ramping a little bit, but we'll get there. The African Development Bank did a survey and said there are so few women in the African economy, participating in the African economy. And if the number of participants rose to reflect what countries look like, so if there was gender parity in terms of economic participation of women, we would see the continent's GDP growing by between 5 and 8%. And so I wonder if a statistics like that would work in the South African context, where we'd say if we have parity in terms of transformation, how much growth could there be as a result of that? Do you think that's a correct way to look at it?
Yeah, certainly. I think that is very interesting. And, you know, just to take it back to sugar, 44% of our small-scale farmers are women. And they're really the backbone of our small-scale grower community. So it is a very important statistic to keep track of and also to promote further. So that's what our Transformation Fund is really also all about.
And then as we're looking at the tariffs and engagements that have been had, we know that the minister and the president have been trying to engage in different platforms with the United States around these tariffs to try and protect South African businesses. As your association, do you also do the same in your personal or private capacities to try and lobby and try and say, you know, this is why it's going to affect us. Perhaps you can think about it differently.
Yeah, we've shied away from engaging directly with the American counterparts. We have very good relations with the embassy in Pretoria, but are also very careful not to overstep the line. So we'd like to support the likes of AgriSA and AgBiz, who engage directly with government on these trade issues, and you know, give our voice to them, and hopefully through them, you know, further information and intelligence can be given to the ministers, who then engage directly with the counterparts in the United States.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking at figures like 1,200 large-scale growers representing 24,000 small-scale farmers in a South African context, do you work with or operate with people on the continent, people in Europe, in terms of your engagements? Or is it, again, you're very focused on what you're doing and growing the industry here, and you are cordial with people across the continent or with people in Europe when it come, who do, are doing similar things to you?
Yeah, so we engage with various grower associations throughout the world. Actually, last week was at a conference with the World Association of Beet and Cane Growers, where members from 14 or 17 nations got together to share ideas as to how one can tackle these type of issues. So there is a platform where, I guess, the growers get together and debate these items. That also stretches into Africa. Kenya was part of the delegation, as was, I think, Zambia, Mozambique, and Eswatini. Mm-hmm. So those exist, and we're definitely very active in that space.
Dr. Thomas Funke, the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Cane Growers Association, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, just really giving us insight into the work they do in South Africa, in light of that 30% tariff and what it could do to farmers here, and also encouraging us to take a look at where our sugar is coming from and supporting local. Really appreciate your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at some hopefully good news. South Africa moving away from a grey list. 2 years ago, we were told that our controls around money laundering, terrorism and so much more was not in order. We may be moving away from that. We'll be speaking to Isaiah Mhlanga, Chief Economist and Head of Research at RMB, when we come back. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.